How's it going, everyone? Welcome back to another edition of That Meal Podcast, edition number 51 of the 2021-2022 season. Joining myself, Omar, I've got my regular co-host, Mr. Mickey Simpson. You all right, pal?
Yes, fella. Yeah, I'm all good, mate. We're going to touch wood tonight that we're not going to have any mutes, any fuck-ups or anything else. So if it does happen, it's because of that fella below.
You preempted it now because you're definitely going to have a mute or you're definitely going to have a moment where you mess up. So it's all right. I understand. And joining us as always is Mr. Kai Bennett. You all right, pal?
Yeah, I'm good. Thank you, mate. I just hope I can stick to that, Mickey. You know, I'll do my best, obviously, but I might just not put myself on mute all show.
Do you know what happened for the first time in 5 years this week, Kai, in the championship?
There was no shots at all.
A 0.0 XG recorded by Millwall on Tuesday night at Ewood Park. First time in 5 years. I think it's 2,500 games. Little good effort, I think, Kyle. What do you reckon?
Yeah, setting new records, you know. It's perfect. Just what we do, isn't it? But, it was a hard watch, wasn't it? Like, in terms of attacking performance, but I thought that the defensive performance and the resilience they showed was commendable. Four, five, 6 weeks ago before we went on that winning run, I felt like we might have buckled under that little bit of pressure. We did well and we saw it out.
As mentioned, obviously the first time in 2,649 games of football, there was no attempt on goal from a side, and that was Millwall on Tuesday. We'll be talking all things Blackburn in the first part of the show, whilst in the second part, talking all things Middlesbrough, who comes to the Den on Saturday. Millwall still unbeaten in six. We're going to obviously talk all about it in the coming show. If you're new around here, be sure to like the video, subscribe if you're new, and be sure to leave a review and say how impressive Mickey is on this show. So, yeah, we'll go to the first part now and back shortly.
Hi, this is Marvin Williams. You're listening to That Millwall Podcast.
And welcome to the first part of the show. Mickey, mate, I'll give you a right reply there, pal. What are you saying? People got to make you happy and leave a review, haven't they?
Oh, yeah, no, I weren't doing it for that. I just thought I'd just wave and so people see it and the thingy. Question, though, what does that actually mean in English? Well, you said that 0.001 or whatever. What does that actually mean in...
So expected goals are a metric they give. That is, I can't tell you word for word exactly the definition of it, but a lot of people see it branded about. They use it a lot on Sky and Match of the Day and stuff like that. Basically, it's a metric given to each attempt on goal, based on the likelihood of it going in if it was shot 1,000 times. So right, if you've got a 1 XG, it'd be scored 1,000 times out of 1,000. If you've got 0.1 XG, it'd be 10 times out of 100 or 1,000. So basically, it's like a breakdown of how many times, if you've done that same shot, how likely is it that would be a goal. So in Mill's case on Tuesday night, first time in 5 years, like I said, was a 0.0 XG because we had no shots on goal at all. A back-to-the-wall performance, obviously. And, you know, Blackburn, I think, in the game themselves had a XG of 1.7. So by that logic, a lot of people tend to use it for their punting or for their statistics and analysis, saying, well, Blackburn should have at least scored one goal in the game and probably should have scored two, whereas Millwall would have scored none because we had no attempts on goal. I mean, Kai, break the game down for us. I mean, obviously, it was an unchanged 11 for the first time in a couple of games. Obviously, injuries, you know, kind of prevented us from going the same unchanged team over and over again. But I think it was probably a game extra or a game too much for the sides. And obviously, you know, Wright said that in his post-match interview, just as such, really.
No, he did, yeah. I think the motto is when you don't win, don't lose. And I felt like there was never a game we were going to win. Obviously, the last 15 minutes, we sort of started to come into it. Bennett came on, looked lively. And you felt like, you know, if we had one chance, we might take it. And Nicky, I think it would have been really unjust. Well, it would 100% been unjust if had we have won that game, because Blackburn knocked on the door all game, had a couple of penalty shouts, potential red card. So it was a difficult match for us, but I think it was always going to happen at some point. We were going to run out of steam, you know, a bit leggy, and I think it was expected. On another point, I'm liking your t-shirt, Omar. Millwall Magic.
Not bad, eh? I won't reveal where I got it from. But if anyone's interested, do let me know. But yeah, no, it's true. Millwall Magic. And obviously, six unbeaten.
You'll take a commission for passing on someone's Instagram account, won't you?
That's it. Bang on. But obviously, six unbeaten, Mickey. The run's still going. I suppose, like I said, at the start of the day, I probably would have took a 0-0. At half-time, I almost definitely would have took a 0-0. And that resilience is still showing through. Obviously, Ballard went off injured at halftime, so we didn't get through it unscathed. Another injury to contend with, and I think it was, Kai will correct me, maybe groin injury, Kai?
Yeah, groin, yeah, felt his groin.
Yeah, so Mickey, another injury to contend with. I think
you felt his groin, or he felt his groin?
No, he felt his groin.
Oh, okay, it was just when you went with, yeah, felt his groin. And you're thinking, really? You felt his groin? You're getting really close to the Millwall team now, aren't you, Angela?
Obviously, it's ten, days, I don't know if I've done that.
It's 10 injuries now anyway, chaps. But obviously, Mickey, like I said, the resilience is still showing through. Like I said, by the XG stats, Blackburn should have and could have won the game. But defensively, and obviously thanks to a great save from Barton in the second half, it just seems to be that kind of steel and know-how. 6 clean sheets in 9 now. It's suddenly just turned around, hasn't it, defensively? And more for that to continue.
Yeah, I think it's... I think the team just seemed to be working better as a collective front, didn't they? I don't know how much, as I said before, you know, I don't know how much you can put it down to Rowick's tactics or... You know, whether or not the team in training or it's just the team as a whole, but they just seem to be a lot more collective approach, really. They just, it seems to me as if they don't want that ball going anywhere near the goal. They don't even really want it to test Bart, which is good to watch because that's what you want out of a team. You want that solidarity, you want that connection together, that camaraderie. I don't know how many more cliches I could put into that. But, yeah, you know, you want them to play as one. And, yeah, I think it shows, you know, all depends how we go this week. You know, if we can nick a win on Saturday, then great. If it's another draw, then that's fine. I think last week I said 2 draws out of these 4 games. So, hopefully, then we go on to 2 wins. But hey ho, we are where we are, and it's not bad. But there was a few squeaky bum moments, though, wasn't there?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the only thing you was missing there was to say there was power and hunger from the side. But you know, I'll say it for you. But Kai, we've got the 4th best defensive record in the Championship. Suddenly, now obviously, bear in mind if you take away the last 9 games, when I was obviously saying last clean sheets, 6 clean sheets in the last 9. That's something we couldn't really fathom. And I know we've spoke about it in a couple of pods already, but what has clicked for you? I mean, obviously, we had injuries, like I said. Ballard's now injured. Hutchinson's injured. You know, consistency has not necessarily been there from the team to pick itself up defensively anyway. But the know-how and suddenly, like, the determination to kind of get over the line and get a clean sheet, it's just suddenly clicked. And what do you think has kind of been the catalyst for that?
I don't know. I feel like... it's hard to put it down to because we're not really changing the side up. Ballard came in for Hutch against Reading, and if you know, I argued before that maybe it was because the back 5 hadn't played enough games together. They kept getting, mm-hmm. you know, the squad kept getting moved around, but obviously because of injury. But with Pearce even came in, and we looked just as solid. So no, it's good. We keep finding a way to shut the door. There's another door to add to the debate. So it's been good.
We told you not to bring your silly little games to a professional podcast, but you don't listen.
Doors or wheels? Doors or wheels, Mickey? What's more of in the world?
Wheels.
Now is it? I initially thought doors, wheels. But I'm starting to warm to wheels. But I still think
don't make me do what I did to Kai earlier, mate. It's wheels.
He gave me numbers to be fair. Did he say?
I mean, listen. Unless there's any carpenters out there who can tell me otherwise, there's 380 odd bikes made per day. Double that up for wheels. So you got best part of 1 million wheels there a day coming out of bikes, not including cars, which is about, I don't know, a couple of 100 million globally probably. And then taking some more in America. Think about some of the trucks. Think about, you know, Lego. Think about Matchbox cars. Think about Corgi cars. Think about fucking Tonka toys. Think about every fucking car in the world, every toy car in the world. You know, think about everything else and then go, yeah. And doors, okay, yeah, fine. You know, there are maybe a lot of doors, cupboard doors, kitchen doors, et cetera, et cetera. But my vote goes to the wheel party.
You're missing the point of if there's 5 wheels, there's 5 doors as well on a car. And I hate to drag this debate on, but we won't. And we'll leave it at that.
How many doors are on a bike?
It doesn't matter, does it? How many bikes are there in a skyscraper?
how many doors are there on a fucking 18-wheel truck?
I brought this all up, haven't I?
Well, if you've joined the debate online anyway, let us know in the comment section below what you think, doors or wheels. I personally think at first I thought doors, but I'm starting to warm up to wheels, and I understand probably wheels is the likely winner, but you know, it's fine. But Kai, one thing also what I want to talk about the XG whilst I'm looking at the stats. Millwall have statistically the 16th best XG in the league, -0.23. So by that, if the XG was to decide the league table, Millwall would be sitting 16th place in the league. Obviously, we're much higher than that at the moment. Are we punching above our weight? It kind of feels like it, obviously, in the games recently. You know, we're kind of grinding games out, winning by the odd set piece. And how sustainable is that? I mean, a lot of typical statistics analysis would probably say it won't continue much longer. But with Millwall, I feel sometimes we're the exception to the curve, especially when we're on a run like this at the moment.
No, I think that that XG is obviously with 16th. I think it just puts it down to how good the defence has been this year. Even though it hasn't been as good as previous seasons, it just shows that the defence of the squad is punching above its weight in terms of, you know, goals scored and whatever. Because, you know, it's not a secret, we don't score loads of goals. And the way to counter that is by scoring one, obviously, and conceding none. And we tend to do that quite a few times. And the more and more you do that, the more and more you rack it up. And that's the way you can win a game. It's pretty, you know, obviously it sounds pretty simple, but it is the way to win a game. And all you have to do is score one. If your defence can stay strong, like obviously our defence can, it's resilient, it's stubborn. And, you know, that's the way to win a game.
And Mickey, I suppose, you know, we obviously spoke about the catalyst in our recent run of form being Jed Wallace's return to the team. I think it was probably a bad day in the office for him on Tuesday. But, you know, I guess the service wasn't there for him anyway, and his chances on the ball were quite limited. But is that what you put it down to, mate? A bad day at the office for him? Or is it maybe a game too much for him and probably needs, you know, a few days off? But obviously the game's come thick and fast that you can't really allow for that, can you? Especially for one of your best players going forward.
No, I think you have to look at it and go, it's not long come back in from injury, and probably, you know, the intensity of those games we've played, those five wins what we've had, still sounds funny, doesn't it, saying five wins on the bounce. But the five wins we've had must take it out of you, especially where they've been, you know, okay, we had a break between Blackburn game the first time, and they couldn't fucking shovel show snow even. I just think probably a bad day at the office. And because you could see the frustration on him. I think balls weren't falling right. They weren't getting in. And also Blackburn was defending really, really deep. Well, not defending, but they were sitting right back. So it was hard to get the ball moving, hard to get the ball, you know, up. So I just think, yeah, there was a bad day at the office. That's what I'm putting it down to for him. I was quite surprised with Pearce, to be fair. When he was signalled that he was coming on, it was one of those, oh, fuck's sake, we're going to lose now moments. But he did seem to command a bit there. Evans.
You've always got a knack of answering my question, then going on to the next point without me asking you the question. So firstly, thank you for that, as always. But my next point was going to be, obviously, the substitutions. You know, first half, it's pointless me saying this now, seeing as you already started to talk about it. But obviously, you know, first half, we kind of rolled our luck at times, didn't really get a foot in the game. The manager makes an enforced change. Bala comes off at halftime after Kai touched his groin. And then obviously at that point, you know, we've got a whole kind of conundrum there of what does he go for? He's brought on George Evans. Initially, I thought when he came on, he might have kept the formation five at the back. He moves Evans into the midfield as a holding midfielder at the time. And as you say, Mickey, 10 minutes later, Pearce does come on. And it was a bit of a shock, but also I think it probably was the right call, which I feel like you was going to go on to say, but instead it felt like you'd be a bit critical of it. But is it maybe he made a mistake and realised it quickly and commend him for it? Because he put it right after that and, you know, we kind of saw the game out quite competently, I felt like, when Pearce came on, Mickey.
Yeah, look, Pearce, he has good days, bad days. I'm not a great fan of Pearce. I don't see what this draw is to Pearce. I don't know why we're paying someone probably a half-decent wage who doesn't really play any games. And I suppose, realistically, the negative, it's not negative, but it's what I've said about Rowett all along, is that I just don't think Rowett is a man manager. I don't think he's a people person. I think he's a tactician. I think he's probably a good football brain, but I don't know if he is a great man manager. And I think the reason that Pierce was kept on was that Pierce has got that better relationship with the players, the more of the go-to man than Rat. But hey-ho, look, it worked. Football's all about results. Football's all about gambles, isn't it? Every part of football's about a gamble, and it paid off. So, you know, it is, but hey-ho, it worked. So, you know, I'm not going to sit there and cut the fella off just because it worked. So,
if it didn't work... Tried to sound more infused, mate. We got a 0-0 when we didn't have a single shot on goal. We got to take every cloud on all this little stuff.
I think it was a great result because, Blackburn wanted us to go up there after their shithousery, 2 weeks before, whatever, with the snow and fucking undersoil heat and gate and all that sort of shit. They wanted us to go there and they wanted to turn us over to a degree, but it didn't work out. And I think realistically, we probably got a better result than possibly we thought we were going to get out there. And Blackburn definitely got the bum deal out of it. You know, I think they thought they were going to turn us over. They're not a pushover. You know, they're top half of the table. They're doing well. And realistically, they should have probably turned us over. But we stuck in. We worked as a team. We defended well. And, you know, we stopped the embarrassment and our clean sheets carry on.
Kai, it felt like, obviously, you know, as Mickey said there, Blackburn, you know, albeit they are obviously what they were in the Christmas time when they went on this unbeaten run and played themselves into contention to maybe potentially win the league, they've fallen off the wagon since. I think they've only scored 3 goals since the turn of the year, if I'm not mistaken. And obviously, it felt like they were there for the taking going into the game. We've all discovered since it was a game too much for this Mill side, and obviously the games were catching up on them after the recent run. But perhaps, yes, Blackburn should have won the game. But in that second half at times, I thought, you know, where we had that one little moment potential of quality, especially we won a couple of set pieces, a couple of corners, I was thinking it's set up here for Cooper to get his 3rd in 3 games and 3 match winners in a row, mate. I don't know what you felt.
Off mute. No, it was good. Nice. It was. I'm making sure that I'm just, you know, staying here. It's all good. No, it was. It's one of them games I think we'll look back on and think that was a good point gained. You know, it's disappointing we couldn't get all 3 and close that gap a little bit more. But when you're under pressure so much, it's always a good point like that. Yeah, I felt the same with Cooper. I thought one set piece here. You never know. He gets his foot on it. Gets his head or foot. And we score. But I felt that there was obviously 2, I don't know if we're going to go on to this, Omar, or not, but I'll bring up with the penalty decisions, especially the Pierce one. I felt like that was karma for sending us back the last game that we didn't play. I felt like that was a bit of karma, and I felt like we deserved that little bit of luck because of the fact that we've been probably shafted out of a game 2-3 weeks ago. So I felt that we deserved a point after the resilient battle we showed. I think it's a point we'll look back on and be pleased with.
Definitely. I think with the Pierce will shout, yeah, you see them given, but I felt like he tried to pull away with it. And I think that's how he kind of got the benefit of the doubt from the referee at the time. I think Mickey, you might have alluded to it. Was it a red card for you for George Saville in the second half, or was it Kai that brought it up? I can't remember which one you brought it up earlier. But obviously Saville's gone in hard on the defender in the far corner in the attacking third for us. I thought like it was a game challenge, and if that was at the Den, the referee would give a yellow and get on with it. Blackburn players and fans thought otherwise. What did you make of it, Mickey, at the time? Red card for you?
Yellow card. I don't think it was... I think, you know, with the benefit of looking back at replays and seeing it again, at first I thought we got the ball, because the way the ball bounced off looked as if he got something on the ball. And the leg just followed through. I don't think it was... I don't think he jumped in to break the cunt's legs, but I think it was just a good old-fashioned tackle. You know, like the ones when we were at school and playing, you know, football on the pit on the Sunday leg stuff. It's just a standardised tackle. But again, trouble is now... you know, these prima donna football players are all a bunch of pussies, really. They fucking go down at the slightest touch. So, you know, and the rules have changed. And, yeah, he was lucky. Potentially it could have gone the other way. But, yeah, no, I don't think it was a red. I think it was a yellow all day long.
It was made the worst, wasn't it, by the fans like jumping around, wasn't it? Like
the players
jumping near,
going players causing a big thing. Do you know what I mean? So
I think for me nowadays, to me, you can tell when it's a bad tackle when you get the ooh from the crowd, and you didn't really get that. It was more uproar from it, and not necessarily the thud of the ooh, like that kind of moment. Everyone knows what I mean when you're in the
front stage.
You get that moment where it goes ooh, and that's probably a red card, but you didn't get that kind of sensation, I think, with Sam's tackle.
And also people around it, other players, you see their reaction and know that it's a bad tackle. And also, he was rolling around on, you know, he was on the floor, sort of corner of his eye, looking to see what was happening. So,
I see what you mean. Right, Kai, how many points are we off the playoffs? We're in ninth place. How many points behind Luton are we? We're four points behind Luton with 11 games to go. Obviously, at this point, like we said, 6 games ago, we would have took this and bit your hand off for it. You know, 53 points, 37 goals for, 34 against. You know, we're averaging more than one goal a game, and suddenly, and now we're conceding less than one goal a game. So all the indications are pointing in the right direction to a classic Millwall kind of go right side the last couple of seasons, Kai. I guess we'll talk more about the game Saturday, obviously, going into it. But what's your kind of, you know, hopes the next 3 or 4 games before the international break? And hopefully, you know, we're in touching distance. As long as we're still in touching distance after international break, even the manager said it himself, we get players back from injury. It's a real good chance for us to give it a go, I suppose, isn't there, the last 10 games?
Yeah, just stay in. Just stay in with a shout these last, you know, these next 4 games for the international break. Try and close the gap if you can, but try and keep in that 5-point region where you're in it, where you're there or thereabouts. And you never know what can happen after that. And I was looking at a stat the other day that said, I think it's 35 games we've played now, haven't we? 35, I think it is. I think it's the first season Rowett came in after 35, we were on 50. I know obviously Harris had the first 2 months, but we're on 50 points. Last season after 35, we're on 45, and now we're on 53. So we're 3 points better off than the first season Rowett came in, obviously, albeit that he wasn't there for the whole time, but still, and we were 2 points off, I think, after that. So we're 3 points better off. So, you know, if they can make a late run, then we're definitely in it.
If at the moment, at 6 games ago, none of us were positive. Even Kai weren't positive 6 games ago. And Kai's the most positive Millwall fan I know.
I think we were just, it was the problem we had was that it was negative football. It was boring football. It wasn't necessarily where we were in the league, because that weren't too bad. We weren't in a relegation fight. The biggest problem we had was the fact of negative football. And, you know, that was, we just wanted something to give us a little bit of, yeah, I'm going to go watch them next week now. Do you know what I mean? Rather than you walk out of the game and go, oh, fucking hell.
But Mickey, could you imagine 6 games ago, we went Blackburn away and we had 0 shots on goal? It's the whole dynamic around the performances.
No, I totally agree with you.
It's winning matters. That's, I think, we were shit on Saturday, but we won 1-0. We weren't massively good against Sheffield United, but we were just a better team, 1-1-0. If after the Blackpool game, we lost 1-0, if we had Blackburn away on a Tuesday night and we had 0 shots on goal and drew 0-0, we'd be sitting on this podcast and we wouldn't be talking the way we are right now. Yes or no?
No, social media would be all over it. Everything would be all over it.
It's circumstantial, isn't it?
Winning, you can get away with a lot more. And the fact of, you know, you when you're winning, everything's looked at in a different light. It's as if the sun's shining, isn't it? So, you know, I mean, you know, Gary Rowlett could go punch a fucking 3-year-old in the face and, you know, as long as we're winning, we'd be okay with it. Do you know what I mean? But if we were
Gary, who? Losing, Gary who's Gary Rowlett, by the way? I've never heard of him.
Well, I've done that for libel purposes.
Right.
So that he couldn't sue me. Okay. So that was a genuine, purposely slip of the tongue, because obviously libel and, you know, slander, and we know that people at the club listen to this. So we don't have it. So yeah.
Well, okay, fair enough.
But nice to know that you're in the form of fucking dinging me out proper tonight. Do you know what I mean? You can shut the fuck up as well, Kyle. Do you know what I mean?
Who's Kyle? Fucking. Who the fuck is Kyle? Right, anyway, I think that's probably wrapped up part number one anyway. As mentioned, Mill sitting in ninth place, set up nicely for Saturday's game. Nicely is not even a word, I don't think, but, you know, it doesn't matter. Saturday's game, we'll talk all about that in part number two, and that'll be with you shortly.
Once I've killed the pair of these cunts.
I don't care. I am Millwall. Circle Millwall.
And welcome to the second part of the show. Kai, as mentioned, Saturday's game sees Middlesbrough come to town, fresh off the back of a 4-1 defeat at Bramall Lane for Chris Wilder against his old side. What are you expecting on Saturday from Chris Wilder's men?
I think they're going to be like a wounded dog, aren't they? I think is that the expression? Wounded animal? One of the two, anyway. But yeah, I think they're going to be, you know, coming to basically show that they're going to want a response, basically. And, you know, it's 4-1. I've watched the game back, and not the whole one, just the highlights. And they were dreadful. A couple of the Sheffield United goals were very, were the sort of goals that if we conceded them, I'd be upset that we conceded them because of the nature of them. A couple of good finishes, one from Morgan Gibbs-White. The other ones, there should have been a couple. There's a couple that they should have dealt with better. The goal that Burrow did score was mess up from I think his name is Wes Fodderingham, the Sheffield United keeper. And Balogun just pounces on it, taps it in. Basically, he just loses his footing. They missed a couple of glorious chances in the first half. Andreas Sporra, spoon one straight into the top tier. But they're a good side. They've got good players. You only have to look at their FA Cup run to see what they can do. And I'm expecting a really tough game against a team that will be looking to show what they're about and try and respond to that defeat. But at the same time, I think Millwall will be looking to respond from not having any shots on goal, and they'll be looking to, you know, put in a good attacking performance on the front foot and try and get that sixth win in seven matches.
Obviously, we played Middlesbrough earlier in the season in Chris Wilder's first game as manager, Kai. I feel like Wilder's the sort of manager, like, we look at Middlesbrough squad, and you're right in saying, obviously, you've got some good players in there, but it's not a Fulham, it's not a Sheffield United by the fact of players with big reputations that have played in the higher divisions and players you think, oh, ego, like Sander Berg, for example. I think he scored the other night for them, didn't he, as well? But you look at Middlesbrough, and I think that's just, it amplifies how good of a manager for me that Chris Wilder is, because as soon as he's come in, he's had 10, 15 games. Everyone's like, that's it. They're going to get in the playoffs this year. They got humbled the other night, like you said. They had their chances to get in the game. But what I think we'll get from that sort of side is they'll be well organised and to be looking to play a certain game plan to try and catch that, won't they?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And it's going to be a really good attendance on Saturday, by the looks of things. Looks like, someone said this to me, I think it's looking about 16, 17. I'm not sure how
kids,
to get
kids for a quid as well, I think, on Saturday as well. So the club looking doing really, an incentive to get a few fans in there.
Yeah, it's really good. And if you look at the ticket map, I don't know how much, obviously, season ticket has to go. Obviously, people have to be, season ticket holders have to go. But if you look at the map, there's quite a lot of sold out areas. Mickey's looking at me, I'm not sure.
Hi, welcome to the That Millwall podcast, Millwall PR Hour. Who the fuck looks at ticket map?
I look at ticket map to see how many people are going to be there, because when you hear, oh, there's going to be a good attendance, you look at it because it makes you excited, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, rightly so, I think. I mean, I've never really personally looked at the map myself. I don't think leading up to a game, but nonetheless,
it doesn't make me excited.
No, it does. It makes me excited because it makes you think, oh, the Den's going to be really rocking here. And, you know, the Den's rocking with what, 10,000 fans. So with 16, it's going to be, well, it's going to be loud, and it makes it a hostile atmosphere, which our players thrive on. So that's why I'm excited.
I think it just shows the magic of having a good home form and also winning games. Because obviously we had a good game against Sheffield United. The fans kind of got us over the end of the finish line, so to speak, and, you know, sucked that ball into the back of the net for Cooper's goal. And I'm hoping Saturday will be not too dissimilar, Mickey, because we always talk about how much of a 12th man they are. And, you know, we say if you're pitch side, you can feel how much of the crowd presence is there. And obviously 4 wins out of our last 5 at home, unbeaten since Nottingham Forest game in January. It's kind of the momentum's there to try and help us. Kind of, we talk about over exceeding our XG, over exceeding our kind of where we should be in the table, but factors like the Den kind of come into play at this stage of the season, and hopefully it just kind of carries that on for the rest of the season, mate.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. It's going to be good there on Saturday. Loads of kids, you're going to have the kids all on the front walls, all of that sort of stuff there. So, yeah, it'll be great. It really bring a nice atmosphere to it. The kids there, I like going there with all the kids now hanging around on that front wall and stuff. It's what football's all about. Do you know what I mean? Annoying the shit out of the opposition players, calling the goalkeeper names and all of that sort of stuff and getting involved. That's to me where you build your future fans. You know, not fucking stuck up high in a fucking turn. But yeah, no, I think it will be good. I think if someone comes out and goes through someone early doors, gets a crowd on side, then I think, hey ho, the crowd comes on, and yeah, it's a different environment when that crowd's on side. If the players play and get the crowd on side, it's a different thing now. I mean, you've been there as well, Kyle, on pitch side. It's so fucking loud and so different when the crowd are on side. The 12th man, I fully believe in that 12th man scenarios, mate. It's definitely good.
Six of our 11 games remaining are at the Den. Like, and we're sitting here on 53 points. If we was to win all of our six remaining home games, I'm not saying that's going to happen, but obviously we've got Middlesbrough Saturday. We've got Huddersfield on the Tuesday or Wednesday. I can't remember which day it is. Then after the international break, you've got Swansea at home, Barnsley at home, Hull at home, and Peterborough at home in the second to last game of the season. If you was to win all six games, that'll take you up to 71 points. If you get into the 70-point region, you are touching the playoffs. And I'm not saying it's going to happen. I'm not, you know, it's a good, but I think to give yourself a chance, and obviously, you know, momentum is one thing. If we just continue that gradual increase and keep winning our home games, Kai, this is why I think Saturday's a huge game for us, then you give yourself a fighting chance, mate, don't you?
Oh, it's absolutely massive. Barrow have shown it, that, you know, themselves. They've won, I think they've won 9 on the bounce at home now, including cup competitions. And look where they are. I think they tend to struggle a little bit away, and hopefully that's where we can sort of capitalise Saturday. But the home form's, you know, vital. I think I personally think we were the club that struggled the most with no fans there because of that that 12th man that we talk about. And the fans coming back this year has sort of just shown what the fans bring to the Den. Well, you know, we weren't as good at home. Well, I don't think we won that many games at home last season. We won a couple. I can name you a couple, but there wasn't anywhere like what we've done at the moment. Am I right saying we've won 5 out of the last 6 home matches? Yep, I believe one, something like that. 4 out of 5. Preston was the 0-0, wasn't it? That was a dreadful game, that one, wasn't it? But it's exciting, and I think, you know, and I looked at a table yesterday. It said that the last 11 matches that we're left to play, I think we have a league position of, I think, 13.5 the average is that we play. So obviously we have some big games coming up the next 4. Then after that, we play some of the lower teams, mid-table sides, and we really need to look to capitalise on that after we've hopefully picked up some points against the sides that we need to be to compete against.
I think that's it. You've got to emphasise how important the home form is. And I feel like we're, obviously the QPR game was a good performance, 1-2-0. Obviously we beat Birmingham just before the new year, 3-1. But I think we're due a big dead performance where we win 3 or 4-0. I'm not saying Saturday's going to be the time for it, Jats, but we are due that performance, aren't we, Mickey, where we send the fans home happy. It's Kai saying it could be close to a sellout. You know, he's already been on the seat plan and he's getting excited over it, as he says. And the only way to send them fans home happy and to get them back into the Den for Huddersfield on Wednesday or Tuesday, I will find out exactly when it is by turning up and putting a performance in that everyone can agree with and go, what a performance. And when you're walking out the Den, you can hear people singing down Zampa Road and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah,
down that's the kind of performance we need, I think, on Saturday to really send 100%. Everyone home happy.
Yeah, 100%. Fully agree with you. We could do with adding to Borough's misfortune of last week and give them a good beat, you know, like 3-4-0 thrashing. Because I think that will then cement that actually it could well be game on. And I think then the crowds will be back at the home game and we feel the Den. So, yeah, it'll be interesting times ahead, but yeah, we'll see.
Hashtag feel the Den.
don't start that with Thomas Sandgaard. No way. They've been trying to do that for weeks, and every week they do it. They give, I think, every season ticket holder 3 free tickets each, something stupid like that. And now the fans, I think the Charlton fans are now saying, we don't want a season ticket next year because we're going to get free ones anyway. So it's mad. It's crazy. It's absolutely mad.
Come on then, chaps. Let's round up on the game for Saturday. I think I'm expecting some changes, by the way, because obviously Tuesday was a game too much for this squad.
I've got 11 out of 11 on
FanHub. So I saw that, and I do think there probably will be changes. Obviously, one in force with Ballard stepping out. I wonder if we're going to see a change of shape. I think Middlesbrough were playing back five, so I don't expect us to go back four. But I could see a kind of mixed up 11 a little bit. Maybe a chance. I mean, Bury was quite poor the other night. We didn't really touch on that. I felt like it was a tough game for him to get involved with. And obviously, Bennett's now back available. It wouldn't surprise me if we saw Bennett and maybe a Phobie up front with Jed sitting in the 10. And maybe perhaps a midfield change. Maybe perhaps even Saville coming out. I thought Saville had a good game, to be fair, but maybe just mix it up a little bit and offer some fresh legs in there, chaps. But I do think we're going to win on Saturday. I'm going to say it.
I agree with you. I think we are as well. I do too. I mean, I said last week that I think we'll have two draws out of these last games before the international break, and I think that we're not due another draw yet. I think we will get a win. How much by, I don't know yet. No doubt you'll ask me in a little while, but at the moment, I think we're definitely going to win that.
I'll make it easy for you. I'm going to go 2-0 Millwall Saturday. There you go.
I'm tempted to say 4-0.
Fuck it, yeah.
Purely because of the back of their game the other day where they had a bit of bad luck. And they're going to come into this slightly negative. And Bennett's back. And I reckon potentially 4-0. I'm going to go Jed Bennett, Coops, and Danny Mack to score his first goal.
I was going to say Danny Mack to score in my 2-0 win, to be fair. So there you go. I think, Kai, if he's gone 4-0 and I've gone 2-0, I know what you're going to go for. Oh, okay. Six. Right.
No, I'm joking. No, if we're doing multiples of two, then you realistically you've got to jump to six, didn't you? But we won't go that far. We won't get that. I'll get carried away.
We could just
I'm gonna go a little bit less optimistic than you guys, but I'm gonna go 1-0.
Okay.
I reckon we'll score late and it'll be a good game. We'll score late and we'll win 1-0, I reckon.
Bennett to score. Optimism. I love it. And I saw also fair play to the club. We're in March and we're already selling season tickets. And fair play to them. Price is frozen, obviously, Mickey as well. And, you know, club issues, I always come to you on this one, mate. But let's be right, you know, and have it fair. I didn't pay for season ticket this year because I renewed before during COVID. And I got free iFollow for the whole season. Then I got a free season ticket this year. I think I had to pay a £15 admin fee, whatever it was at the start of the season. They've frozen the prices based on 2-3 years ago now. And, you know, obviously, that's fair play to the club, isn't it? And you can't knock it, and the credit's where it's due there.
No, definitely. I mean, you know, £350, I think it is, for Carbolo Lane Lower being held until May, works out, I think, about £13 a game, which is, you know, which is a bargain, to be fair. The only thing what will make it even better for me, if we can have the shirts out very, very soon as well. If we're going to have the shirts out April, May, then you know what? Actually, fucking superb. But whether or not we do or not, knowing the people who run this club shop, I'll be very shocked. Do you know what I mean?
That's very Premier League of you to say you want the shirts out before the season's over, mate. Like this,
because the kids... No, it's not Millwall. But you see, the thing is, I always think that where the demographics of the club is now changing more and more, where you've got more kids coming involved and more kids want to wear football shirts. Families go away on holiday, you know, coming up to June, July, people are planning their summer holidays, going away. You want to make sure that the shirts are readily available before then, so people buy all the stuff for holiday and then you get extra income for the club. You know, we've had it hard the last couple of years, but I think if you can get the shirts in early, you've got that extra few months of where you can make income, where every year, for as long as I can remember, we missed that slot of being able to sell shirts for people going away on holiday, wearing training shirts on holiday, kids wearing shirts, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We miss that every year. And I think that if there's one year where we could do with everything falling into place, this is the year where we could do with that extra revenue.
I think you're bang on there, to be honest. And I didn't really think of it that way before. And you're right. I mean, like I said, it's very Premier League because obviously a lot of Premier League clubs will have their kit for next season on the last day of the season, tend to do a sale afterwards and all that sort of stuff and get the incentive there and obviously the buzz going into the close season. And I can't remember Millwall ever doing that, really. Maybe in the early 2000s, maybe once or twice. And then later in the late 2000s, I'm talking before 2010, I remember when I used to get shirts back then, I probably have a shirt by end of July. But nowadays, it feels like into August, most people get their shirts. I mean, I don't know what it was this season just gone. August. I don't buy the shirts myself. So, yeah, there you go. It's a fair statement.
And that was with... You see, the thing is, really, all they've got to do is design a shirt because Husky's the sponsor. So you've got the sponsor logo already. All you need to do is have the shirt. And the shirt would have been done towards the end of last year, probably November, December. The shirts would have probably been chosen and put to done. They were probably printed and everything else probably February this year. So the shirts are somewhere ready to go. It's just getting that stock in, you know. I mean, look, the club listens to this. If you need us to go hire a van and drive over to Italy. I know they've got a new shirt sponsor this year, haven't they? We're going to have a new kit supplier. So we don't know who that is yet. I think it's a new one this year. So, yeah, but we don't mind. We can travel wherever, as long as it's not Russia or Ukraine. We're happy to go anywhere in a van and do a jolly to pick up stuff. So, yeah. I'm trustworthy.
I just went on to Google, right? And I just typed Millwall kit, just on the whim. I don't know if it's going to come up for you as well. So there's someone selling a home concept football kit for Millwall in 2022-23. Have you seen it?
Never
knew. It's on the
Millwall, I think it is.
By UK Soccer Shop. 2022-23 home concept football kit, Libero. Adult long sleeve.
With the Captain Morgan.
Yeah, it's actually a well-marked top.
And what'd you search in?
Mine's a bit rascal as well. Type Millwall kit on Google. And the first one that's come up is UK Soccer Shop.
Is it the one with Captain Morgan?
Yeah, it's actually a bit rascal that. I was like, oh, let me just look into this. And I mean, it's purely a coincidence that I'm sure, and I have no idea why that's even a thing there on there. But I mean, if anyone's watching, I'll try and hold it up to the camera.
I've got it another way, Omar, so don't panic. Keep talking amongst yourself for a minute.
You're going to try and upload it into the StreamYard, are you?
I am going to do that now.
To be fair, talking about kits, my mate's a Orlando City fan in MLS. He sports Gillingham and Orlando City. I have no idea why he sports an MLS team, but he does. And they played their first game, I think it was last week. They released their shirt 2 days before their first match.
Oh, really? Interesting. Yeah. And is it a brand new club, you said, as well, is it?
No, Orlando City have been around for probably 25, gotcha. I think 30 years. So they've literally released their new kit for the new season 2 days before the start of the season. It's crazy, isn't it? Like, that's...
A lot of clubs are like that, I think, nowadays, to be honest with you, especially the lower down the football league you go, and obviously in the States as well in that case. Mickey, mate, I'm putting you on the spot. Have you got it sorted?
Yes, mate.
Come on then, show us.
Yeah.
This is making great audio if you're listening, but this is an incentive for you, if you are listening audio, to check out our YouTube channel, at That Middle Podcast. Obviously, you can see content, and Mickey's done it wrong. What are you doing?
Well, I have done it wrong. Hang on.
You have done it very wrong, mate.
Let me just move. Well, I was trying to add it in. Where does the image go?
You added it to a banner. You've done it in the wrong place, mate. This is invaluable content. And obviously, like I said, you can witness this in person on YouTube if you check out on YouTube. So be sure to do that. Kai, I guess before we go, you wanted to add something onto the show, mate. Maybe this is ample time for you to do that. So I'll pass over to you, pal, to say what you need to say.
Yes, I just wanted to say... I did an article earlier in the week. There's a young girl, five-year-old girl called Molly McCockin, who's from the Bromley area. She's got stage 4 neuroblastoma. I'm just going to read a few bits out just so I get it all spot on. And we sort of know of the family. We don't know them well, but we know of the family because of the local area. So when she was 2.5, she was rushed to hospital at the Princess Royal University Hospital in Farnborough. Mm-hmm. She rushed to hospital there with a sharp pain in her hip. She had an operation a few days later, which released pressure from an infection and reduced the pain. But a scan showed abnormal cells in her hips. And after 3 weeks with further tests, Molly was diagnosed with stage 4 neuroblastoma. So she is also called Molly MC. So if you see Molly MC, Molly McCocking, one of the two, that is, they are the same person. She's now 5, and basically her family are appealing for donations to basically just do this. They need 300,000 to do almost, well, it is cure the cancer in the US. That's where the treatment is. That is currently not available in the UK, the treatment that she needs. She's currently raised 180,000 on our Just Giving page, but they obviously need another 120,000. It was originally 200,000 for the US, but they upped it at 100,000. I'm not quite sure why. I've never actually got that info, but it was up to 100,000. I'm not sure why, but it was. She began an initial 80-day course of aggressive chemotherapy at the end of August at the Royal Marsden and King's College Hospitals, but she needs this basically special treatment to cure the cancer once and for all. She was given, I think it's 40% survival rate when she was first diagnosed with the cancer. But every single day that goes on, obviously she's raising more money. And, you know, with the Just Giving page, if it can reach 300,000, she'll have a really good chance of beating it. We have seen her at the local club that she comes to. One of her parents is a squash member. Really lovely family. It's a really hard time for them. But they've done quite a lot of donations and sort of sponsored nights at the local club to try and get her to try and get people to donate this money and get it all together. The Just Giving page, I'm sure Mickey will put it in the description below.
It'll be in the show description on Spotify and everywhere, and on YouTube as well. So it'll be everywhere.
I'll stick it on our link tree as well.
Yeah, anything will help. It's much appreciated. Whatever you've got, she's got a really good chance of surviving if she can get this treatment in the US.
Well, so there you go. She's 5 years old. Links will be in the description. So yeah, get there. So
give us the kit, mate. Come on. There it is. I like it. I can't lie.
It's a concept kit,
so I have no idea where it came from. But and also, I don't know why the badge has changed. But nonetheless, interesting.
Oh yeah, I know where this has come from now. Yeah.
That was Orlando City.
Interesting. Yeah, the fella DM'd us ages ago, and we told him, and he put a shirt out ages ago and got absolutely ruined on it for changing the Lions badge.
There you go.
Might have been from me as well, telling him don't change the badge. But no, look, you know, I've got a few of the old Lionesses shirts with the badge, with the original badge on. So I might get one of those, pick the badge off, and then put the badge on that. And then maybe us three should buy one, and then I'll give you all the badge to sew on, mate. And then we'll have a unique shirt, what no one else has got. Or maybe we should buy one, stick the badge on it, and then fucking get Kai to get the players to sign it, and then you can auction it off for Molly.
That's nice. That's actually a good idea. I never thought about that. That's a good idea.
Yeah, well, definitely, for sure. I think obviously we've now reached our end point. As mentioned, check the show description notes, more so for the fact that there's a fundraiser in there for that Molly girl. So be sure to check that out. And thank you guys for listening and watching today. If you're new around here, be sure to subscribe and leave a like, leave a review or comment. It helps us out more than you think. And obviously check us out on our socials at That Mill Pods. And hopefully we'll be back next week on the back of a nice, comfortable Mill win on Saturday. Here's hoping.
And
anyway.
A national radio appearance.
And a national radio appearance, which we'll talk about more next week. Mickey, thanks for coming on as always, mate.
Thanks, mate. Thanks for having me. I'm going home now.
Cheers, Kai, mate.
Thank you very much. Good show, guys.
Well done. We got through without putting anyone on.
Yeah, we did.
Oh, honestly, well done, boys. I'm so proud of you two, honestly. You know, on this late Thursday evening, you've made my day. Thank you so much.